Let's get to the agenda from last night. Got lots to get to from last night. So we'll start first. Anything on announcements and recognitions last night?
Well, Nate updated us on the fact of Mammoth is going to be in town this week, and that's really exciting. And he updated us a lot on what's going on out there at the sports complex, and I'll let you elaborate on that, Nate.
Yeah, so during announcements and recognitions, I just wanted to make sure we've got some meeting dates that we want to make sure that people have a chance to attend if they want. Right now, we're setting up meeting dates with a company called the Sports Feasibility Company, and they're going to actually do a feasibility study for the city of McCook. So that way we can determine what the economic impact of the new sports complex is going to be, which is essential for us when we're trying to go ahead and recruit new commercial businesses, retail businesses, restaurants. Those businesses want to see what is going to be the economic outcome for McCook once this project is completed. And then, you know, if it works out for them, they're going to locate to McCook, you know, based upon this kind of information. So this company, that's what they do. So we're trying to get a number of stakeholders. We sent out a first wave of emails yesterday, and I was laying in bed last night, and I was thinking about all the people that I didn't get included, including you, Rich. So, but we want to get as many people to these meetings as possible. The other thing we're going to use this for is for grant opportunities. We're in the middle of writing grants right now, and so if we can go ahead and include this with our grants, it makes our grant applications that much stronger because it gives the people that are going to be awarding the grants an idea of what it is that McCook can achieve once this project is done. So, but those meetings are going to be set for Wednesday and Thursday of this week. So it's a quick turnaround time. And Mammoth, like Mayor Taylor said, they're in town as well, too. They'll be a part of the feasibility discussions. But we're talking about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, then 9 o'clock on Thursday morning, and 10 o'clock on Thursday morning. So we tried to do mornings and afternoons so that way we could make it a little bit easier for people to hit one if they want to come to it. And then also on Wednesday evening, Mammoth will be working with our sports complex steering committee to kind of go through their process as far as the design goes of the complex. And right now the design is really coming along quickly. They're going to have a model that we're excited to show. They were actually on the road last night, so didn't have anybody to help out with it. I'm not a very techie guy, and so I don't really do PowerPoints or anything, but they're going to have a PowerPoint to show what's feasible and what's possible with the RFQ that was sent out. So we asked for whichever firm was chosen, which was Mammoth, to go ahead and include a design that has a championship baseball field, a championship softball field, a fourplex, 2 soccer fields, and then other amenities that go along with it. And that's what they've given us, and they're going to be showing that. And then we're going to be talking about brass tacks too, you know, because it's going to be more expensive than what we probably are going to be able to afford, you know, absent something changing. So this is our opportunity to go ahead and just kind of pick and choose what parts we want or what we don't want, and then figure out, okay, what's the final number that we're going to sit on when we decide to go ahead and sign the guaranteed maximum price contract. So that's on Wednesday. And then on Wednesday evening, weather allowing, we're going to try to go up to North Platte. So a couple of the guys from Mammoth and myself, and I think Jared Muhlenkamp, we're going to go up to North Platte for the Mid Plains Community College meeting. So that way we can get Mammoth familiarized with the Board of Governors and the Board of Governors familiarized with Mammoth. I think it'd be great for everybody to get a chance to meet one another and talk. And if there are any questions, Mammoth is going to be there to go ahead and answer them.
All right, so busy Wednesday tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on top of a snowfall and people running into lights and our snow crew all over the place trying to get things cleaned up. But it's all good, you know, and I'm really, really excited about the sports complex project. It's starting to materialize, and this has been 4 years in the works, and we're starting to see things come together, and that's encouraging for me.
All right. Okay, those times tomorrow afternoon, or what time again do you go?
So 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And then on Thursday, it's going to be 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Very good. Anything else? Announcements, recognitions? That was pretty much it.
That was it.
All right. Public hearings. You had some public hearings last night as well.
We had a request for a special exception by Amanda and Dustin True to locate a bed and breakfast vacation rental in a residential medium density district at 806 and a half East 7th Street. And this has gone through our planning commission, and the council took a look at it last night, and we went ahead and approved that for them. The Trues weren't with us last night as they live in Colby, Kansas. They said because of the roads, but this is an absolute no-brainer the way that property is set up. So we approved that last night for them.
Also, you had, let me get my sheets. That was it. That was the only public hearing, wasn't it?
It was.
We had one more public hearing. We had the Economic Development Citizens Advisory Committee.
Okay, I missed that one.
And Charlie and Sean were present to go ahead and just kind of give some details as far as projects that the EDC has going on. The LB 840 Economic Advisory Committee, they meet once a quarter, to go ahead and go through all the happenings over at the EDC, and then they report those results to the council. They're kind of the conduit between the council and the EDC, who manages our LB 840 program. And there are a lot of projects going on. A couple of the projects that were highlighted and uses for those taxpayer dollars included, the industrial park project. We also are working on housing projects. So the North Point project, some of those kinds of ventures. I know that the reservation project is an LB 840 project. And then also we're out there trying to find retail businesses to come to McCook. So the retail coach is out there actively trying to find all these businesses to come to McCook, which is exciting. And then there are a lot of other good ventures that we have going on, whether it's early childhood development I can't even remember everything that was on the list, but there's just a lot of things that we're doing right now. One of the questions that Gene Whedon had last night was the status of the rail spur over at the Industrial Park, which is completed now, and it's going to serve Performance Plus, but not only Performance Plus, but the other lots that are out there as well, too. So very exciting time, and we really appreciate the work that the EDC does, and then the LB 840 Citizens Advisory Economic Committee. They do a fantastic job. And we're so glad to have Sean back in McCook, because that was 9 to 10 months without Sean. And I tell you what, for those of you that don't know Sean Wolf, I think that he sits on every single board or committee in our community. Everybody wants Sean because Sean is so good he's got a very analytical mind, and he thinks things through in a way that I think really is a great assistance to whatever board that he sits on. So we appreciate the heck out of Sean, and we're glad to have him back. So that committee seemed very, very bare bones without him, just because he's so good at some of the analytical stuff. And I think everybody on the committee was excited to see him back the other day when we had our first meeting with him. So
terrific. Good news there. All right, move on to consent agenda. Anything pulled for discussion last night?
No, we did not pull anything on the consent agenda, which was the fact that we've been looking at the rates for the swimming pool, and the council or the staff will bring that back to the council next time around. But we've been looking at different rates for swimming pool and really giving it a lot of thought and consideration how to set those up. So nothing was pulled though last night.
Nothing was pulled, but I do want to pull. I do want to talk about the consultant agreement that we signed with W Design. We are moving forward with a self-service fueling station at the airport. Obviously, with some of the issues that we had this past fall in November with the bankruptcy that was filed by Red Willow Aviation, it became painfully obvious to us that we need to make sure that we have a fueling station that's up and operational. We actually had that prioritized, but because of the way that the federal money ties into different projects, we didn't think that this would be a priority for the federal government after we finished up with our AMP. Now, when they realized that we were having the issues with fueling that we were having, they've bumped this up. So we want to say thanks to the FAA. We want to say thanks to NDOT for prioritizing this, because this was always our priority project. But we had to go through the right steps to get to this point. So moving forward, we want to go ahead and build out fueling stations, not just for 100 low lead, but also for jet fueling, just so we have that option if we need that. We've been kind of working with Greg Wolford to begin with, just finding the best location for the fueling station. You know, do you want above ground? Do you want below ground? How do you want this to be situated? But I think that we're ready to go, and we are very, very grateful to have this opportunity, because I can't tell you how difficult it was without fuel out there at the airport. I don't know if people realize the economic driver that airport is, but when you don't have planes that are coming into our airport, it's very noticeable. And so thank you very much to NDOT, and thank you very much to the FAA.
Also, I was going to ask you, you approved the bid for the crack sealing project. Of course, that's a summertime project.
Yep. Shellco got the low bid on that. That'll be a summertime project, but we're excited to get that bid. And, you know, we'll be keeping everybody notified when they mm-hmm. get to town and start working.
Move on to the regular agenda, and you updated us a little bit, sports complex project. Anything else with that?
Just a lot of things going on, a lot of moving pieces. We've had a lot of meetings with Mammoth Sports Construction, trying to figure out exactly how this design is going to lay out, and then what those prices are going to be. We've talked about grant opportunities. We've talked about funding opportunities. I know that they've got a concept that they're ready to show to our community. I think when people see the concept, they're going to be really, really excited. It's going to be, what we're looking at right now would be a state-of-the-art facility, and obviously we're going to have to make sure that it fits our budget, but it's a good starting point, and then we can kind of see what direction we want to go. You know, we talked a little bit about the possibility of bringing the college in as a partner. That's our intent. And so I know that they are excited to go up to North Platte with us to give a presentation to the Board of Governors on Wednesday evening. And just a lot of conversations just in general. We had three or four meetings with them. We also had a meeting between Mammoth and High Level Promotions. They're a sports sponsorship group that we've had some conversations with. I'm trying to avoid duplication of efforts, so we got to figure out what it would be that High Level Promotions would do that Mammoth isn't already doing. I know as far as like some of the advertising and whatnot and promotion pieces, that's probably what we're contracting with Mammoth to do. But as far as going out and getting corporate sponsorships, that's not what Mammoth is doing. So that might be an area where we could work with High Level Promotions, and it would be a good fit. We are going to have a conversation with Nebraska Wesleyan today, which I'm really excited to do, to kind of talk about their project out in Lincoln and their joint efforts with the city of Lincoln to pull off a very, very exciting project. It's a $27 million sports complex with fields that are going to be designated as home fields for Nebraska Wesleyan. I think Nebraska Wesleyan's putting in $2 million. And then also, I think that they've got a group that fundraised Nebraska Wesleyan alumni. And so I can kind of envision us doing something like that with the college, which is kind of an exciting prospect. And then conversations in general. The grants are taking up a lot of time. Jessica Bortner and Tara Cutter, I think their hands are starting to get sore from writing so much. But we did apply for the CCCFF grant over the prior week. Mammoth got us all the information that we needed, so that way we could get it out fairly quickly. And that was Lori Ashoff and Tara that worked on that. So we'll be hearing back from the DED on that probably in the next month or so. But we did receive that grant for the swimming pool, so we may or may not receive it this go-round. But even if we don't, we are using that kind of as a catapult to look at the possibility of the state turnback sales tax provisions, which would allow us to capture 70% of the sales tax that's derived, that would typically go to the state, that's derived from new commercial businesses that produce sales tax revenue within a 600-yard radius of the sports complex. So you start talking about hotels, you start talking about restaurants, you start talking about retail. That could really be substantial in a fairly short period of time. So Those are some of the things that we're working on. Just a lot of things, moving targets, trying to figure out how to make everything fit. But it's exciting. Like I said, I mean, I can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, which is very nice for the first time in 4 years. So I'm excited for this. So,
Linda, good news, huh?
It is good news. It's exciting for everyone in Southwest Nebraska. The things that sports complex is going to do for all of our children. I mean, think about all of this great stuff and the fact we can bring in new retail. I serve on the retail committee for the EDC, and believe me, people have wanted to come to McCook we have had no place for them to go.
Mm-hmm. All right. So more on this coming up. Future meetings still.
Yeah, we'll be working on this probably for the next year or so.
Yeah, exactly right. Every meeting we'll hear something.
Yeah, you'll be hearing a lot about this.
Continued discussion regarding the user fees for the McCook Aquatic Park for the summer of 2025.
And I think Linda touched on that a little bit. We had a discussion. We'll bring it back to the council for confirmation at the next meeting.
Let's see. We had some more ordinances dealing with fire prevention, fireworks, flammable gas, explosives.
We passed those on third and final reading. I think the big thing last night was we got a check from ACE for $20,932. And Gene Whedon has done an excellent job serving on that committee for us. And it's wonderful because we were the third highest community in order to get a great amount of money. And like Gene said, we've gotten several hundred thousand dollars through ACE. So he reminded everybody that there is a sign-up period coming up. And when you have a chance to choose your natural gas supplier, choose ACE because they're a nonprofit that return funds back to our community. And that's wonderful.
Gene's been doing this for a number of years.
He really has.
He's really active. Yeah. You know, it's cool because we put up a list of all the projects that we've used ACE funds for, and it's a ton. Mm-hmm. I mean, if everybody knew what these dollars were going towards, they'd be really, really excited. And the fact that everybody is choosing ACE, you know, that speaks volumes, you know, not just to our citizens, but also to Gene's efforts and the council's efforts to promote it, because I think Gene gets a hard time sometimes. I think at one point in time, there was an article in the Gazette. It was talking about how he was going to stump for ACE or something like that. But it's a great selling point. And you think that's our community betterment fund that we've used for so many different projects. And I can't even begin to go through the list of all the projects we've used that for. I would strongly encourage people to select ACE this year. If they aren't selecting ACE, that money does go back to the community, and they are noticeable improvements or projects that benefits all of us. So,
discussion regarding property 1107 West 4th was
that's anything? A tricky one. Yeah, five years, 6 years. I don't know. We start talking about nuisance abatements, it all just kind of is just a fog. But this one was a house that burned down just south of the convent, the old convent. And we've been dealing with this one for a long time. First, it was a nuisance abatement project. I had guys that were out there from the Public Works Department cleaning it up one day. The entire day it took us to clean that property up. And I say it every time, but it's a private problem that the public, ends up having to take care of when people don't take care of it themselves. Well, shortly after we cleaned up the property, the house burned, and it was unsafe. There were people that were living there, walking up and down the stairs. I know that Chief Harpum said he was concerned that people would fall through the floors potentially. And so it was declared unsafe in 2020. And the council used ACE funds to go ahead and knock it down. I guess that was a good tie-in for the ACE funds because we didn't want to use our general fund tax dollars to deal with somebody's private problem. So we used ACE funds because we had a lot of neighbors in the area that were frustrated with the fact that the house was just sitting there, abandoned. So knocked down the house, and then it becomes, what do you do with the property after the fact? Because the property owners just left. And so, and we also had to go through the legal process too. So just because we actually had a sheriff sale a couple years ago, but you've got a couple of years as the property owner to redeem. So we couldn't get a sheriff's deed until 2024. We got the sheriff's deed in October of 2024. But I've seen a lot of Facebook posts where people are saying, well, it's city property. You're not taking care. Well, it really wasn't our property. It was still owned by the former property owner, but now it is our property. So the question that we had for the council is, okay, we've got $15,300 in special assessments that we've put into this, but we're never going to get $15,300 back. So what do you want us to do? Do you want us to go ahead and auction it off? What's the preference? And I think that kind of what I gathered last night from the council was, let's go ahead, let's take sealed bids. Let's avoid any additional auctioneering costs. Let's see what they come back at. At least we're getting something potentially. You're never going to make, and that's why I struggle with nuisance abatements. We get phone calls all the time about nuisance abatements, but it's a struggle because you're using good taxpayer dollars that could go towards different projects, capital outlay, whatever the case may be, and you're putting it towards a private person's problem. And we only have $40,000 that we have budgeted for nuisance abatements in the general fund. We've got $20,000 that's going to West Central to help this year abate properties over on the southeast side of town, which only leaves us $20,000 for other nuisance abatement projects, which when you figure that the most recent house that was demolished, that was a nuisance abatement house, was $27,000, it doesn't go very far. Basically, you don't have enough money to do this work anymore. And every town is facing this, but it's hard for people, I think, to understand. They just assume, well, it's a city responsibility, you got to take care of it. Well, you have to have the money first. So you hope that private people will take care of private people problems, but sometimes they don't. And we've got these properties all over town, and we're aware of them. But we can only do so much. You can't squeeze blood out of a turnip, and that's really what it boils down to. You're not going to be able to get people to care. You're not going to be able to get people to pay for stuff if they don't want to do it. So we can take them to court. We can go ahead and declare a property a nuisance. We can do all those things. But at the end of the day, you have to have money to take care of the problem. So anyway, that was why we brought that back. We wanted the council to say, yeah, this is the direction that we want you to go. We probably will lose money on this, but ultimately we don't want to have possession of it. The other thing is then we have to mow it, and our guys are so strapped as far as, you know, additional responsibilities at the parks. We mow the right-of-ways. Mm-hmm. You know, we contract with the state to mow the right-of-ways. So it gets complicated, and we don't have time to go ahead and mow private people's problems. So to us, it's probably best just to go ahead and get it off the company or the city's property list and move it off to somebody else.
Really, I could have skipped that one, you know, probably would have.
It makes me mad. It makes me mad, Rich. Every time I think about nuisance abatements, don't ever ask me questions about nuisance abatements, and especially during the summer because right. We get phone calls nonstop, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh. We know. Yeah. But, people have property rights. You can't just go in there and start taking people's property. You have to go through the proper channels. And if you're talking about getting people to clean, how do you get people to take care of them? Themselves or right. properties when they don't want to. I can't force somebody to do something.
Where the council comments? Any council comments last night?
I thanked our street department for taking care of the streets. That's snow that has to be mm-hmm. moved, and they get up at early hours of the morning. Saturday morning, 4:30. I heard a truck go by my house, and I thought, oh no, it snowed last night. So. Thank you for all of our city employees because they all step up to the plate. And I ask our citizens to please clean their sidewalks off so when we have people walking on them, they're not walking in the snow because that's very dangerous.
Especially
kids. They can call into Open Line today. And if they need help, they can ask for somebody to give them a call back.
Exactly
so
right.
Your phone should be ringing.
I need somebody to call up. I need my driveway, my sidewalk scooped and... Usually they can find somebody.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Anything else, council comments last night?
No, that was it.
That was it. All right. Next meeting, March.
Yeah. March 3rd.
March 3rd. Wow. Yeah. About time to fill out some brackets.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. Yeah, I've been thinking about who we do a draft league, and I'm thinking about who my number one draft pick is. It's looking like Auburn right now.
Could be, yeah.
That might be my number one pick if I get the one slot. I had Connecticut last year with the one slot. That
you did well.
Good. Yeah.
You did well. Yep. So any other meetings coming up? A reminder about the ones tomorrow and Thursday.
That's probably it for right now.